Then one of the 10 lepers, upon seeing he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and laid down at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Then he said to the man before him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you whole." In this interaction, Jesus is not giving out a reward from far away on high. "Oh, you did the right thing, therefore I will reward you with a fuller cure." Jesus is not telling us that to get what you need, you must figure out how to please God in the distant sky and do the thing just right, and God will dole out something to you in a careful distribution of deservedness. But not to them, the other 9, not to them, because they were bad. No, this is not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is doing is pointing us to thankfulness, inviting us to notice it and to let it grow in our hearts. The experience of gratitude is a pathway. It's a gateway that delivers us into wholeness that goes beyond healing us physically or emotionally and leads us to the salvation of feeling more fully alive in truth, more receptive to divine love, stronger. And Jesus is all about calling us again and again and again to notice gateways such as this, such as thankfulness, calling us to not only notice thankfulness, but to consider using our free will to traveling on its pathway, despite any cost or inconvenience or discomfort. He assures us this is going to be worth it. So this is what I'd like to reflect on today, this gateway offered by the powerful spiritual elixir of thankfulness, and its effect on us within, and its effect on us in our day-to-day lives, in our faith communities, and even its connection to stewardship, to our annual campaign, which we are kicking off today. Now, this week, I attended an interfaith gathering at Temple Emmanuel out on Brainard Road with about 60 religious leaders from around Cleveland. And after some prayers and rituals and a beautiful lunch, we were invited to have a discussion with our table mates. There were 5 questions to choose from, and my table chose a question about our thoughts regarding the current reality that so many younger adults, 20s, 30s, 40s, have no interest in being a part of a faith community. And sitting at my table, there was a pastor from a Methodist church nearby. There was a Catholic deacon who has a lot of experience with young adults. There was the rabbi of Congregation Mishkan Or. There was a Mormon who works with all the Mormon congregations in Northern Ohio. There was a former president of the American Jewish Committee. And there next to me was the ELCA bishop, the Lutheran bishop of all of Northern Ohio, Bishop Ann's counterpart in the Lutheran Church. It was a very life-giving and energizing discussion with an uplifting feeling of connection and respect that grew among us. And I wish I could tell you about the whole discussion, but one part of our discussion that I'd like to bring up that feels important to the topic of gratitude was around the idea of why go to church? Why bother? What's the value of it? Certainly, it's not about memorizing a certain particular set of beliefs that you have to buy into with no doubts or questions in order to belong. What faith communities can offer at their best is nourishment for the deepest hungers in our lives, such as being part of a community that can come to know us as we are and love us and support us as we are, such as connecting face to face with people, not through words on a screen or a Zoom box or a shared picture of our blueberry brunch pancakes. It's the value of having meaningful conversations. It's experience in being known and seen and supported. It's about being in a place where we acknowledge and talk about our deepest needs of healing and the world's needs of healing. It's about the power of ritual, where we go to a space that's different than the mundane and pray for one another and pray about things that matter and lift up our voices in song about mercy and justice and hope and living and dying. It's a place where we can feel connection to our ancestors who for tens of thousands of years have sustained themselves by doing these intimate things in community. It's a place to both ground ourselves and lift ourselves up, to be nourished and recharged in this fractured world of so much unnecessary suffering caused by human madness. But for intricate reasons, faith communities are widely perceived by younger generations and by many older generations, perceived, and often for good reason, as irrelevant. Irrelevant beliefs and even hurtful, hypocritical beliefs. And so many churches on Sunday are half empty while the malls are full. How do we bridge the powerful possibility of what spiritual communities can offer with where we find ourselves now in this time? So I return to the gospel, to Christ's passionate invitation to know the power of gratitude. In the dialogue, when the healed man said, "Thank you," the Greek term used there is actually Eucharisto, Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. The symbolic feast at this table acknowledges the deep hungers and needs of humanity for real connection, for truth and meaning. It acknowledges the hunger to be alive in the truth and to be at peace, to know who we are, to feel stronger. This represents the sacred food that feeds our souls, our true hunger beneath all hungers. This liturgy offers an outpicturing of expressing gratitude, a gateway for our hearts to find the way, using symbols and actions to convey what is unseen and unspeakable into what we can see and touch and feel. We begin our Eucharist by saying, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." Let us, in other words, let us give thanks to the life-giving wonder and miracles of life and truth. And the response to it is right to give our thanks and praise. The Westminster Catechism is a document that was written in the late 1600s in England for the general purpose of providing a very accurate and succinct summary of Christianity. And it's written in question-answer format. And the first question is, what is the chief end and purpose of human life? And the answer given is, the purpose and end of human existence is gratitude and praise. In other words, to know the greatness of life and to connect with life in that greatness. In other words, when we see the gifts and wonders of life, we are filled with gratitude and awe, and that radically opens our hearts. We have all felt these things randomly when we're in nature and see some beautiful sight, or in seeing a precious child, or witnessing a birth, or falling in love, or through music or art or a movie that moves us. And upon experiencing even just a glimmer of this wonder, our gratitude overflows, and we want to express what we have felt, and we want to share it, like the healed leper. We are being called to cultivate glimpses of the wonder of life, not to catch it randomly, to open to it intentionally and directly, to cause it to grow. And this practice shifts our minds and our awareness to a new relationship with life and even with our sense of identity of who we are. And in this way, we begin to organically radiate and magnify the essence of a faith community. Communities charged with genuine appreciation and awe of what is become beacons. Not because they have all the answers or because they do everything just right, but because they live into the truth with humility and joy that is an invitation to come closer, because it's real and because it resonates in all of us like a tuning fork. We feel it in our hearts, that realness and truth. In today's gospel, when the healed man realized what had happened, he turned around. He turned around. He saw things anew. And when he did, the text says, he began praising God with a loud voice, and he threw himself on the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This overflowing gratefulness can arise in us too, and not as an act, but as an experience engendered by our willingness to pay attention to things that we feel grateful for and to come to know that we are a part of the love and abundance and sacredness of life. And we realize that by saying yes to it. Gratitude doesn't ignore struggle and pain. It's not Pollyannish, everything's great. Gratitude allows us to see these things even more fully in strength, and it transforms how we walk through it. It strengthens us, not with denial, but with deep resilience that comes from walking in truth and recognizing the divine love in and around us, recognizing beauty and purpose, becoming more aware of the sweet, vulnerable people beside us, more attuned to the needs of the world. Today we also, as I said, kick off our annual stewardship campaign. And when we think of stewardship, the first things many of us think of is the practical pledging of a financial contribution to the church to keep it running. But stewardship is deeper and wider than that. Yes, stewardship is about the resources that are necessary for a church to exist. Our budget next year will be determined by the contributions, and that will determine what staff we can afford, how we'll pay our bills, how we'll pay for children's programs, how we'll pay to assist our neighbors near and far. But stewardship is more. It's a part of our expression of gratitude. It's part of our spiritual practice of giving ourselves and investing ourselves in what means a lot to us. What do we want to help sustain and grow in the world? What do we think is important for this world we are living in? Our financial offering is not just a dues collection, but part of offering ourselves and our lives. I heard one priest from Arizona say once, regardless of what we put in the collection plate, we might take a moment and intentionally, in silent prayer, make an offering of ourselves as an act of thanksgiving for the goodness of life and put that in the collection plate. St. Augustine preached, "It is the mystery of yourselves that is laid on the Lord's table. It is the mystery of yourselves that you receive." There is a great need in the world for the gifts offered by spiritual communities, the connection, the redemption, the strengthening, the empowerment. When we experience these things for ourselves, our gratitude is bursting to be expressed, and we want to share it. Just as we are all drawn to share things, we like to share a good joke, a good story, a new restaurant, a recipe, or a picture we took of something breathtaking. But sharing the spiritual riches, touching on the truth, feeling the nourishment we long for most, when we share that, it resonates and heals in ways that know no bounds, that stretch across generation, that ripple out from us to others in ways we'll never know. And these things have the power to overcome the darkness and fear and violence in the world. When we give the power of love magnified by our attention, and we can participate in all of this by noticing and bringing forth our gratitude, our own recognition of what we have in life. Jane Goodall, one of my favorite persons, the beloved primatologist who just died on October 1st at the age of 96, said in her last interview, "Every single day you live, you have it in your power to make the world a better place." Gratitude is an empowerment to that.